Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of DC and Helwani. We got a lot to talk about with the man himself. A lot going on, as always, in the world of mixed martial arts. But first, I got to tell you about this brand new episode of the Woj Pod that I just listened to featuring unbelievable Canadian Daniel Dale. He's a presidential fact checker for CNN, but he's also one of the most famous Canadians out there in the world today because he is killing it with his reporting. And also, he's a diehard Toronto Raptors fan. He's not one of these Johnny Come Lately Toronto Raptors fans. He is a diehard Toronto Raptors fan. So it was great to listen to his conversation with Woj about the Raptors, who are currently tied 2-2 thanks to OG Anunoby, Kyle Lowry, and the whole squad after being down 0-2. Now they're tied 2-2 going into tonight's game. I can't wait. Very exciting stuff. Great podcast. Highly suggest checking it out. I loved every second of it. And if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Canadian, if you're a Raptors fan, you will love it as well. Download and subscribe to the Woj Pod, by the way, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, now on to today's program, which may contain language that's not suitable for all audiences. So listener discretion is advised.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. Listen, you're a little rusty. This is the magic of the show right here. Just because we're big time doesn't mean we can't have these moments.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this Monday, September 7th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Root for those with a fighting spirit. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani in DC, my man. Yes, it is Labor Day here in North America. Yes, most people are taking the day off, enjoying a barbecue, going to the beach, hanging out with family and friends, but not us, not DC and Helwani. We never stop. The grind don't stop here.
Put the backpack on me, baby. Let's go to work. I mean, we're going to work every day. We don't take days off. Who takes days off?
No, not us. Days off. Believe it or not, Labor Day is a North American holiday. It might even be celebrated all over the world. In Canada, it's Labor, O-U-R, not O-R, like you spell it here in America, but it's still the same sort of concept.
I mean... Yes. Now you guys are piggybacking on our holidays. I mean, the Canadians just want holidays. We've talked about this so many times. How many holidays?
No, I'm trying to say we're on the same page for this one.
No, but now you guys are taking our holiday. This is our holiday, Labor Day for the Americans. This is a day that we celebrate the people that work so hard in the world. And now you guys are piggybacking. It's okay. I get it. Everybody wants to be the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, but... Sure, you guys can piggyback, Ariel.
Well, I'm actually surprised that we're on time today, that you showed up. I would have figured Labor Day, you'd be nine barbecuing. Holes deep.
I'm already barbecuing. I'm in my above-ground Doughboy pool, laying out in the back, barbecuing.
Oh, I thought you'd be golfing right now with your eight-year-old clubs, you know, for eight-year-olds, like the mini version.
Those aren't mini clubs. Listen.
I thought you'd be out there on the links.
All right. So I got some custom clubs made. So right now, I'm just playing with loners, and I'm telling you, I'm getting better and better. And right now, trust me, I just scheduled. It's not on the books yet, but the moment the NBA playoffs are done, round of golf, me versus Barkley and another one of my friends named Niner. I promise you, I sent Chuck the video the other day of me hitting. He said, hey, that wasn't that bad, DC. He goes, I can't wait to play. So I'll be going down to Arizona playing with Big Chuck. And then Niner actually told me, that Charles is actually pretty good. So you guys laugh at his swing in the way the visuals, but at the end goal is to get the ball in the hole in the least amount of strokes. And I hear my man Barkley's pretty good at getting the ball into that cup.
First of all, Barkley's saying that you're not that bad. I don't know if that's the greatest compliment of all time. I'll believe it when I see it.
So did you see my shot? Up and down for par, baby. Yeah. Up and down for par. That's
your back was like this.
Hey. That is what they call it in the business, you know, up and down for par. Three shots, first shot on the green, putt and missed, knock it in for par.
I've never asked you for anything, but if this does in fact happen, I would like to be there. Can I be there?
to play golf with me and Charles?
No, Barkley? I don't know how to play golf. I've never played golf in my life. I just want to be there. I want to be in his presence. I love Sir Charles.
I know. He's the best. He's the best, man. He has a great energy about him, too.
The round mound of rebound, you two guys driving in a golf cart together? That would be incredible.
Well, I don't think we're driving in the golf cart together. But, I mean, if we're driving in that golf cart together, fit. Barely moving. Barely moving on the golf course. But, yes, we will be playing together.
All right. Well, that would be great. Okay, so we've got so much to talk about. You're back from Las Vegas. You did two shows last week. Holy smoke. Talk about Labor Day. Talk about needing a day off. You did two shows last week. We got to talk about that.
Two shows, 12 fights. It was like two contender series.
I know, right? It's true.
Two short nights.
It's true. What a crazy time. Alistair Overeem, Michelle Pajeda. We'll talk about all of that. But first, we have to talk about some late-breaking news, DC, because there I am on a Sunday night. Driving back home from the beach. Yes, I left I left the friendly confines of my home to mingle with the common folk. I was at the beach and I get a text message, DC, from my good friend Kevin Mubenga, who you may not know, he's not a household name in MMA, but he is the manager for one Nicholas Diaz.
Really?
He sends me a video of Nick doing like some pose thing. Like he's not really sure what he's doing, but he's like, This, he's moving around. And I wrote back to him. I was like, oh, you guys are reminiscing about the old days. Because it looks like, you know, 29-year-old Nick Diaz, right? Nick Diaz just turned 37, by the way. Looks like 29-year-old. Even the haircut was a little different. And he's like, no. This is like 2 hours ago. I was like, whoa, how much does he weigh? He's like, well, we're not going to tell you exactly how much he weighs. But let's just say he's in the 175 to 165 range. I was like, wow, when's the last time he was that light? He's like, oh, it's been at least like 4 or 5 years. Remember his last fight almost 6 years ago against Anderson Silva. I said, all right, so what's going on? He said he just finished a 14-week training/diet regimen, cut down to this range, 175 to 165. We are 100% coming back, probably early 2020, January, February. We have our eyes on some of the big welterweight fights coming up. Didn't want to divulge who they're looking at, but put it in writing. Get it out there to the world. Nick Diaz is back. We are fighting again, and everyone's on notice. When we see everyone in the welterweight division, it's on site. That's what he said. What do you make of this? Because let's be honest, DC, we have heard this from the Diaz camp before. You know, he hasn't fought in 6 years. Do you believe this time that he is, in fact, coming back based on what you saw there and what I'm telling you?
Well, when you look at his physical shape, right, it's easier to believe this time. Because before, Nick would talk about fighting and but he was like always in a bit of a party setting, right? Like he'd be hanging out with his friends, playing with his nunchucks. I'll be back. But the reality is, watching him there, he looks in great physical condition. It's easier to believe. And also, looking at the state of the welterweight division, you know, you think that if you're a competitor Nick Diaz, you will consider fighting again. And I do believe that this will be the time that we see him. But how about the fact that I almost said Nate Diaz? Because think about this, bro. Back in the day, Ariel, it was Nick Diaz and his little brother, Nathan. But yep. When Nick's been gone for so long, when you think Diaz brothers, now you think Big Nate. You think Nate Diaz when you think about the Diaz brothers. And I know he would disagree because, you know, Nick Diaz army and everything. But I believe that he will fight again. And if he does, it makes for some interesting times in the welterweight division, because you got to remember, this guy is super talented. He's very skilled, and fantastic grappler, unbelievable boxing, insane cardio. He's got all the things that could give a lot of guys problems in the welterweight division.
So, like I said, we haven't seen him in 6 years, but I did interview him. Remember, I interviewed him last November, right after the BMF title fight, and he said that he wanted to fight Masvidal, right? And I think some people weren't quite sure how they felt about it. They weren't, you know, if you follow him on Instagram, you see that he likes to spend a lot of time in the clubs and things like that. But DC, and this is just, they didn't want to give me any more information. This is just my hypothesis. It might be possible, and I'd love to talk to Nick about this or his team, that what has happened in this world, AKA COVID, shutting everything down, was what he needed to snap him out of it and get him in the gym. Because you can't go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
You can't party. You can't do anything, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that an amazing byproduct? That could be, this depressing turn of events could be what brings us Nick Diaz.
That's kind of crazy because Nick Diaz, like you said, is a guy that spends a lot of time hanging out with his friends. He's always around a whole bunch of people. But when you're in the midst of COVID and you own your own gym, right? So Nick was staying in Vegas. He was always in Vegas. Maybe during COVID, he went back to Stockton, be around his family, kind of like sit through the quarantine with his brother Nate and his new family and his parents and having your own gym. If you don't want to be stuck in the house, what are you gonna do? Hey, let's go grapple a little bit, Nate. Let's go work out a little bit, right? So even though the gym's not open, you do have mat space. You start training. You start feeling good. And now he's like fit. I mean, I can't believe that he looks like that. And when you talk about a 14-week training camp regimen, weight loss type of situation, this isn't easy to do with nothing on the books. So that shows you the mentality and the state where he is up here between the ears, you know, which is most important when it comes to fighting. Between the ears, it's telling him that, look, I want to do this and I'm ready to be fully committed to it, because to go through 14 weeks of training and look like he looks today, it's very tough.
There is a simple answer to who Nick Diaz should fight. And I agree with you. I do think he's going to fight. I don't think he's that old. 37, he's taking some time off. I feel like he's in the right spot. And like you said, his physique is tremendous. He's always been in pretty good shape, right? But there's a difference between just kind of walking around at 190 and being where he's at between 175 and 165. There's a very easy answer to who he should fight next. He should fight the winner of Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. Tyron has been calling him out. I remember back in the day, 2011 DC Strikeforce, Nick Diaz versus Paul Daly. Remember Tyron Woodley showing up to the weigh-ins in 2011 wearing "I Got Next" for Nick Diaz. He wanted Nick Diaz back then. Colby Covington's been talking a lot of smack about Nick Diaz. This is a no-brainer. Why? What are you doing? This is a no-brainer. They're fighting in 2 weeks.
I can't believe you are such an advocate of this man. And now a big name comes into the game and you don't give him the fight? I mean, you are such an advocate. You are such an advocate.
No.
You're such an advocate for this man. Big name comes. Instead of matching this man up with the big name, two guys that already have fights, right? And this man,
they're fighting in 2 weeks.
Wait, stop. But this man that you have been advocating for, a guy that you felt need earned a title shot, a guy that nobody wants to fight, is still off the books. He's still not scheduled. And once again, you overlook. You do exactly what the world has done.
No.
Poor Leon Rocky Edwards. No. I mean, you did exactly what the world has done.
No.
Why?
There's no backstory there. There's no nothing.
It doesn't matter.
That fight.
Talking just backstory, he'd be fighting Jorge Masvidal.
No, but Masvidal's booked.
But if we're talking just backstory, he would be fighting Jorge Masvidal.
But that's not an option.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Leon Edwards. If we're talking just backstory, it would be two-piece Minnesota or whatever it was called. So backstory doesn't matter all that much. Put Nick Diaz in there with Leon Rocky Edwards. This would be a great fight. And if Nick Diaz can stop the run of Leon, of Rocky, maybe Nick Diaz gets that title shot. So I think that's the fight. Don't do Rocky like that. Let him get a big time fight. You're gonna match him up with two dudes that already have fights. Come on, man.
They're fighting in 2 weeks. He's not fighting in October. I'm talking about January. Right. Perfect. Co-main event. Put Nick versus Colby / Woodley co-main event to Nate versus Jorge. I don't know if Nick would like that. Okay,
Nick
maybe
would
I think
never.
That back.
Nick's not gonna take that. Oh, so you're just gonna crap all over Nick Diaz, dude?
No. Hey, don't do that. Nick and I have come a long way in our relationship.
Don't do that. Look at the fear in your eyes because you
don't
know
get
what
me
you're
in trouble
right
with
now.
Nick.
You know what you're doing right now. This is crazy, bro. No. Nick Diaz versus Leon Edwards. That's the fight. That's the one for me, because Nick Diaz puts himself in a situation where he may earn a title fight with one big victory. Leon Edwards beats a name like Nick Diaz. There's no more denying him, because that's what's missing. You understand that's the only thing missing from Leon Edwards is that big, beautiful, shiny name that makes everybody take notice. I think the fight makes sense.
I got a big, beautiful, shiny name for Leon Edwards. His name is Wonderboy Thompson. That's the fight. I set my heart on that fight. That's the fight for Leon.
Nick Diaz for me, man. Nick Diaz.
Really?
But here's another question, though, right? Like, now Nate's a 70-pounder.
Yeah.
Nick comes back. He's fighting at 70. Let's say Nate beats Jorge Masvidal in the rematch and starts calling for a title fight. Nick Diaz comes back and wins, starts calling for a title fight. Those guys are as close as they come. I'm sure they'll get it worked out, but it adds another layer to everything, you know? Like, this whole world is crazy.
No, because if the winner of Jorge versus Nate 3, and we'll talk a little more about that in a second, but the winner of that fight's going to fight Connor down the line.
For the BMF title.
Yeah, down the line.
Connor, so the BMF title now is a thing. Like, the BMF title now gets defended?
I think it only is a thing when those two guys fight. Because remember, Jorge fought Usman and wasn't on the line.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
And if you have Nick Diaz fight a Colby Woodley and he beats a Colby Woodley winner, now we're talking about him being in the title picture. Could you imagine?
But you don't
Nick
think Diaz? That if he beats a Leon Edwards, he's in the title picture? When sure. Leon's won 7 fights in a row? 7 or 8? 7.
8. Eight.
He's won 8 in a row, right? And you have hammered this detail down to the yes, you beat yes. that nail.
I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm surprised Leon Edwards hasn't reached out to me and thanked me for keeping
him. You've been a Leon Edwards guy for so long, but that's why. Now I know. You just said why you've put him on the back burner because he hasn't thanked you. So now you're just overlooking Leon Edwards. Now you're just – so to hell with Leon Edwards because he hasn't thanked you. Now you're not going to give him –
one text would be nice.
Rocky,
you know what I mean?
Rocky, I want the Nick Diaz fight for you. Your boy, DC, your former teammate.
You sold him out a long time ago. Rocky, I was trying to get him a title shot.
Rocky, I'm trying to get you the Nick Diaz fight, baby. If I get you the Nick Diaz fight, that's the fight. Plus,
you sold out your teammate.
And also, Rocky, the fact that Ariel is not advocating for you means that you got a chance to get that fight. So, you know, I'm the guy. I got you, baby.
Leon, exactly. Well, that is true. That is 100% true. They go the complete opposite direction from what I want. Listen, I won't be mad at it. But the fact that you have footage of Tyron Woodley showing up to Wayne's back in 2011 saying, I want you. Remember the first name that Tyron Woodley said when he beat Robbie Lawler back in 2016 in Atlanta, Georgia? I was there. He got on the microphone. He said, Nick Diaz. Like, there's a story there. And Colby has been talking a lot about Nick, too. So I just feel like that would be fun. Get him motivated.
Tyron smart. Tyron knew when he became champ, having Nick Diaz on the opposite side of him would help him to sell pay-per-views. Tyron also knows – back then, before he was champion, that if he could beat a Nick Diaz, it would put him in line to get a championship fight. Hey, man, these guys aren't making these calls and these decisions on just emotion. They know what they're doing. But, I agree. Nick Diaz versus Colby, or Nate Diaz, anybody versus Colby, getting ready for a fight, it's always fun because Colby likes to talk so much. But in terms of competitive and what I want to see for a guy at the level of a Nick Diaz – I think, and for a fun fight, I think it'd be great.
Okay, so we both would be down to see him fight. Hopefully he's in good spirits. He's in a good place. He's fighting for the right reasons, right? I don't want to see Nick Diaz fight just to make some – like, I want him to want to fight. And I think we both agree that in 2021, there's a very good chance that he will fight, right?
Yes, for sure.
And I think it's good. It's good timing. Look, his brother is coming back. We found out early last week that they are targeting – Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal 2. The initial report said December, but I'm hearing January. So this will be the rematch for the BMF title. They could train together, may not fight on the same card, but be around each other, train together. Like I said, when I spoke to Nick in November, he wanted the Masvidal fight. I think he's okay if his brother gets it. You know, the Diaz brothers being on the same page is good. I would love to see Nick in Nate's corner when he fights Jorge Masvidal. Yeah. It's been a while since we've seen that. How do we feel about that fight getting booked? As opposed to some of the other fights, because I have to be honest with you, DC, when that news came out, I saw a lot of people poo-pooing it. I saw a lot of people kind of being upset that they're going with Nate versus Jorge. I'm surprised. Why wouldn't you want – it ended, you know, unceremoniously, the cut. Let's see a decisive winner.
Could I tell you why people are a little bit – because when you watch the fight, right, and Nate's my boy, but when you watch the fight, it wasn't all that close – before the cut, right? Because Masvidal was fighting a good fight, and Nate wasn't having his best performance. So when you look at it, you're like, well, they're matching these dudes up again, and why? Because based on Nate saying, I was going to beat him, I was just getting started. Like, because reality is, they only fought how many rounds? 2? 3?
3.
They fought 3 rounds, right? And it looked like Masvidal was winning all 3 of those rounds, I think. I'm not exactly sure. I don't recall it as well as you probably do. But it seemed like Jorge was up 3-0. You know, so you're putting together a rematch where it looked like one guy was winning the fight. And I think that's why the fans may be a little bit against it initially. But the moment Nate and Jorge start to talk and start to sell the fight, people get right back on board. But, yeah, I believe a lot of it is because of that. It seemed like the fight was going in Jorge's way, and it seemed like it was his way pretty clear when you're watching it.
Well, you can't please these fans because on the one hand, they say, oh, you know, Leon, stay quiet over there. You got pieced up in the back. You're done. And then on the other hand, you give them the Nate fight. Like, they're, other than those two guys, who else was out there? Connor? I mean, they're very clearly holding Connor off for the winner of Gaethje versus Khabib, which is now, you know, a month and change away. So he's not really in the cards. Maybe they're just upset. I don't know. A healthy Nate Diaz. My understanding was he wasn't 100% healthy. Now I'm not making excuses for him, but a healthy Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal coming off that fight. I feel like the second fight will be more competitive. And by the way, what a great way to start the year, 2021. There could even be fans in attendance by then.
I'm not against it. I'm not against Nate Diaz fighting Jorge Masvidal. I'm just trying to think of what people may have thought going into the fight. I think it'd be a good fight. Like you said, especially if Nate was hurt. These are things that you know that most of the world doesn't know. We don't know that Nate was hurt going into the fight. But when you watch Nate fight, he actually still went out there and did his thing. But Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz, the fight itself, I think it's a tough fight every time for Nate because Jorge is so powerful. He's so polished in the stand-up. He's got good enough cardio to stay with Nate. I think if Nate goes out there and tries to wrestle a little bit more, engage him more in the grappling, I think his chances go up quite a bit. So great fight, exciting fight. People are going to tune in. I kind of wish Masvidal and Leon would have fought. I kind of wish, right? Like, when are we going to get
the payoff? Nate fight?
Just when are we going to get the payoff to that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? I'm a wrestling guy, right? I like the slow build. I love the slow build, right? I love when Cena and The Rock are doing promos for a year before they wrestle. Only two matches, both at WrestleMania. I'm into when Hogan and The Warrior, those guys did promos and they had their program that went an entire year. I love that. I love when Shawn Michaels was chasing the championship for the first time and it took him a year to get it. You know, the boyhood dream has been realized. But at some point, you have to pay it off, right? So you saw that they started at the backstage brawl, the two-piece and the – what is it? Two-piece and the soda?
No, I think it's the one-piece and the biscuit.
No, he hit him twice, so it had to be two.
I mean, three-piece and the soda.
Okay, so three-piece and the soda. So that was the start of the rivalry, right? Then talk back and forth, right? So now we're going on, what, 6-7 months? It's like it's been a while, right?
It's been 6-7 months. It's been a year and a half.
Oh, this happened last year?
March of 2019. Oh,
that's when he beat Darren Till.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So we're 2 years into this thing. Yes. We're still talking. When's the payoff? That's what I'm saying. Man, pay this thing off, man. Let's pay this thing off with putting these dudes in there to fight. Because there's nothing better than when two guys want to fight each other and they hate each other and they're talking, and then they get locked into an octagon. I'm ready to see those two dudes get locked into an octagon. No knock on what we got going with Nate and Jorge, but man, I'm ready for the payoff on that whole situation.
I agree. And his team gets so mad at me every time I bring it up. I got into an argument with his manager, Abe Kawa, last week. Like, oh, why would you advocate for them? Like, I'm not advocating. Like, if the shoe was on the other foot and your guy got punched backstage, they don't like when I say jumped or tagged. Like, if your guy just got punched, then you would want to exact revenge on the guy who, like, this is just a natural, the storyline would be great. It's basically a mini version of Conor and Khabib in Brooklyn, right? A mini version of that. A mini version. Like, there was an altercation. Now, people want to see the payoff, but it doesn't seem like we're getting the payoff anytime soon. By the way,
that's on Rocky, though, man. That's on Leon a little bit. He went into Jorge's face, and I mean, you got to expect a dude like that, a fighter, to hit you if you're going to get in the face. You can't just, like, not be prepared to get punched. Yeah, I mean, I'm ready. Like you said, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for those dudes to fight.
All right, well, guess what?
And I believe people would get into it. No, I'm saying I would believe people would get into that fight too, as they will get into the fight with Masvidal versus Diaz, because, again, it's just a great matchup.
By the way, speaking of slow build, speaking of pro wrestling, what about Tyron Woodley, our guy, teaming up with Masvidal, Colby's ex-best friend, right? And bringing him to his – I mean, this is straight out of WWE. They can't write a better script than this. Masvidal going to St. Louis to help Woodley prepare for Colby Covington in 2 weeks. And the reveal on the video, that is good stuff, right? That is good stuff.
It was when the mega powers came together. And Savage and Hogan shook hands. And then Miss Elizabeth went with Hogan. And my heart was broken. And now Masvidal's in Missouri with Woodley as he gets prepared for Covington. Bro, for me, it feels like this is more mine for Tyron opposed to actual benefits and training for the specific matchup.
Really? Right? Because Masvidal knows him so well.
No, I understand. But Masvidal cannot replicate or play Colby. He just doesn't have that skill. Right. That's not his skill set.
He could guide him or coach him, right?
He can help him in that sense. But I'm talking about This is for the mind, though. This is showing that Colby, it's you versus everybody. Even though Colby likes to say it's him versus the world, this shows him, like, wow, your best friend, the guy you slept on his couch, you guys were roommates, is now training your opponent. This is mental warfare for Masvidal and Tyron, because the reality is Jorge Masvidal can't underhook and grapple with Tyron as Colby's going to do. He's not going to go take him down. He's not going to play Colby Covington in the sparring. But what he can do is tell him, hey, man, he likes to set things up this way. He likes to do this. This is his mentality. But is it really that big a deal? Because when was the last time Masvidal and Covington trained together? Colby's not the same guy that he was back 3 years ago. He's a much more complete, better fighter. You saw what he did out in Philadelphia when he beat – that was Dos Anjos, right, where he threw all those strikes. And then you saw him – no, that was in Philly. He fought in Philly against somebody.
RDA, where he fought Chicago. He won the interim title, and then he won in Newark against Robbie Lawler.
Against Robbie Lawler, right? Whenever he came out to the Kurt Angle thing,
yeah,
he showed a complete version, like a guy that could stand. Then he showed the toughness against Usman. Like, he's not the same guy that he was 3 years ago.
I agree, though. Part of it is mind games. It's beautiful mind games. I'm actually surprised Colby hasn't responded. No
why
response.
Why has he not said anything?
He's been pretty quiet, right?
Kind of no selling it. Like, right? So, like, if you have no answer, isn't it better to just no sell it? Like, ah, this ain't a big deal. Like, this is not a big deal. I don't need to even pay attention to this. And, I kind of like it. I kind of like him no selling it.
But by the way, if you could bring in a guy like Masvidal, who's one of the best fighters in the world, who has an incredible work ethic, like, on top of anything, like, that's just a good training partner
Absolutely.
Right? So
– I know I said not for the specific matchup, but just any sparring rounds with a guy like Jorge Masvidal will benefit you, right? It'll help him get in shape. And then even that video Tyron put up where practice was over and Masvidal was under the ropes hitting sit-ups. Like, the dude's a hard-working guy, man. He worked for years to get to where he is today, and now he's paying the benefits.
It's so weird because, like – honestly, I thought I was the only one who did that after practice, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Under the rug. I thought I was the only one. I was like, man, Jorge, we got something in common more than I thought. Shoot.
You're Jorge Masvidal now?
Well, bro, cardio for
you never days. Cease to amaze me with the way that you put yourself on these levels. Earlier, you were rapping Drake. I was like, oh, you're Drake now? Now you're Jorge Masvidal when it comes to training. This is crazy,
man. I'm a little down on Drake, though, because remember when I tried to advocate for him to do an interview with us, or just me, you know, maybe bringing you into the fold would help me. I don't know if it helps me, hurts me, but he just totally ghosted me. So I got nothing. I sent him another DM. Ghost.
You understand how many DMs that man probably gets? I mean, those DMs are so full. Probably never saw it.
No, I never even got a scene.
Yeah, because he never saw it. You think Drake checks his DMs? You think he actually checks his DMs, or he has an assistant that does that?
I'd like to think. I mean, he reposts a lot of people in the stories. You don't think it's him doing it? It's not like you, right?
It's his team. It's his social team, Ariel. I'm sorry.
But what do you think? They see my name and just, like, at least click on it. Like, give me a shot, no?
Drake's social team does not know who you are.
You don't think? He follows me.
His social team follows you, Ariel. I don't mean to break your heart.
Oh my God.
He follows you, dog. His social team follows you.
So when he's commented and liked a couple times, you don't even think that's him, because I screenshot that and send it to all my friends.
I know. Yeah. No, that's Drake's social team, Ariel. You know, they probably saw the Canadian flag and was like, oh, this guy has some followers. He's from Canada. Let's give him a like.
All right. Thank you. Drake, I still believe in you. So if you're out there, hit me up. Just give me a double tap.
Come on, Drake, man. Hook your boy up. Oh, you want – hey, I can actually, you know, like, so – and I have Lil Wayne's info. I text him and say, hey, my friend Ariel would like Drake to do an interview. Should I do that?
By the way, that's an easy – that is
kind of an easy thing. I can just text him and go, hey, Wayne, Drake, you know, Ariel, this guy, you know, because Wayne knows who you are.
You look alike.
No, he Wayne does? Actually – he does. He knows you. He knows you. He loves you. They think you're great.
Lil Weezy?
Yeah, Lil Weezy. He knows who you are.
Wow. Da-da-da.
Because he's from Louisiana. He's a That's good right. guy. You know, he's Down a good guy. Drake from Canada doesn't pay attention to his people, you know, so.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, yeah. Let me know. After this, if you could text Weezy.
I'll shoot it out.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, speaking of nailing it, oh my gosh, we were just talking about Jorge Masvidal. What about my guy, Michel Pajeda, nailing the call out, calling out Jorge Masvidal? You talk about shooting for the stars and having no chance of getting that fight. You talk about wasting your opportunity. Michel Pajeda nailed it on Saturday. But you know what? I respect it. Why not? Why not shoot for the stars?
Hey, you actually just shot your shot with Drake. You've been shooting your shot with Drake for the last year, and now you're going to call out Michel Pajeda. You did the same thing. Take your shot, especially after a performance like that. And listen, Michel Pajeda, who just had one of the most dominant performances, coming off of a loss to the great Diego Sanchez. Coming off of that loss to Diego Sanchez, he puts on a fantastic performance last weekend. And, I mean, honestly, look, like, if put in there with those guys, he can compete with anyone. He's so talented.
Let's not get crazy.
So, dude, the dude is so skilled.
He is.
He's so talented. He's so big. And when he fights and kind of stays in his lane for the most part, he's as good as they come. I'm not overselling this kid. I think this dude is as talented as they come.
Well, I like the fact that he was a little more relaxed, measured, less hot-dogging. You know, He threw the Showtime kick like a minute into the fight or something like that. That's who he is. But it was just a little more toned down, right? Maybe, you know what? You know what I was thinking? Maybe because there were no fans there. Didn't have to put on a show. Shorter walk, right? He was just kind of chilling. It was like a sparring match. And yes, he'll always be flashy, but he wasn't at, like, the Sanchez fight was crazy what he was doing. And he was getting a little tired. He got tired last year in Vancouver as well. Yes, exactly. So I like this, Pajeda. I don't know how far he could go. I don't know. And our boy Danny Rube is going to text me in 3-2-1. He's going to be very upset that day. I don't know if he could be a contender, but I liked what I saw of him. But by the way, I mean, you know, I love you and Attic. You guys just glossed right over the no tap. That was not a submission. I'm sorry. Hey, dude,
Listen. So first off, to Michel Pajeda's point, fight, I absolutely agree with you. The no fans helped him tremendously. Like, he didn't feel the need to be doing all that crazy stuff or dancing for 5 minutes before he got to the octagon. Right before, he's dancing. He almost exhausted himself in Canada before he even stepped foot on the mat. His skill was on full display last week. And there were times where he did the Ali shuffle. Like you said, he did the Showtime kick. He slapped Zelim Imadaev with an overhand right slap. Dude kissed his hand, slapped Imadaev, who is a world-class – like, Imadaev is a high-level striker. He's a great boxer. And – Michel walked right through him. The reality is he did what he needed to do. And you knew when he got his back, he was going to try something high impact. Tried a belly-to-back suplex, jumped on the neck. Initially, it looked like he tapped. But then when we watched it back, he went to grab the arm, right? The arm was right here. He went to grab the arm, then made a choice to go and attack the hands. But as a boxer, Imadaya's first reaction was to grab at the arm. But then he realized, no, I'll never defend here. I got to defend more at the hands. And when he went to the hands, the referee stopped the fight. So as I've watched it again, initially I thought it was a good call by the ref. As I've watched it again, I don't think that was a tap. I really don't think Imadaev submitted.
Now, I will say that, look, it was elementary. If the fight went the distance, Michel was going to win that fight. Although I don't love that line of thinking because crazy things can happen with 10 seconds left. Like if it wasn't good a tap –
nothing was going to happen. Imadaev landed like 5 shots the whole time. He might have landed 5 punches.
Right. He didn't really complain either, right? No. Afterwards?
He got beat. He got battered and bruised. He was beat, man. He kind of got embarrassed out there by this guy. Like, he looked outclassed from start to finish.
I mean, when you're kissing your hand and slapping the guy.
Overhand slap. Diaz just might just smack you across the side of your face, you know, in the middle of a combination. This dude's like, jab, overhand slap. And then I'm trying to, like, come up with a term for it. I'm like, Johnny hit him with a – he slapped him. I was like, he hit him with an overhand slap. I've never seen anything like it.
Does that even hurt, or is it more just embarrassing?
It's embarrassing, man. It hurts your pride. It hurts you right here, like in the soul. Like some dude slaps you in the middle of the octagon. That's why when Nate beat Connor the first time and he's slapping him and stuff, Connor's like – was like – he couldn't understand what was happening. That's why when Khabib fought Connor, Khabib tried to slap him because you could see that Conor McGregor does not want to be disrespected, right? Like that's something that doesn't sit well with him. So they try to do that to kind of fight, get at his ego a little bit. It's terrible. It's actually terrible to get slapped like that.
I'm happy that he got back on track. He is must-see TV. And to clear something up, there was a story going into that fight that he was on the last fight of his deal. It wasn't the last fight. I guess he misspoke. It was actually the first fight of his new deal. So
yeah, Michelle Pineda is showing Ariel how serious he is about this thing, right? He's moving to Vegas. He's staying in Vegas, hoping to get another fight and everything. He did fantastic.
Yeah, must-see TV, 100%. So a nice win for him. Now, what about in the main event? Alistair Overeem, the legend himself, unbelievably, has won in the 90s, has won in the double zeros, has won in the 10s, and now has won in the 20s. 40 years young, Alistair Overeem going up against the youngster Augusto Sakai, losing early. I thought down 2-0, and then turns back the clock with those elbows, the ground and pound. I thought it might have been done going into, what was it, the end of the fourth? And then he wins the third. Yeah. And then he won in the fourth, right?
He won in the fourth round.
Yeah, yeah. End of the third, going into the fourth. Anyway, it was just – or was it going into the fifth?
Fifth. He got into the fifth.
End of the fourth, going into the fifth. Yeah, but incredible ground and pound. Alistair, man, he's a player. And look, he was winning that fight against Jairzinho Rozenstruik. If he doesn't lose that fight with 4 seconds left or whatever it was, he's on a 5-fight winning streak at this point.
Looking at another title shot. That's crazy because – this guy has done so many things in mixed martial arts. He has fought everybody in the heavyweight division, 205-pound division. He's fought everybody for so long. And every time he goes out there, he just finds his way to victory. He was losing to Sakai. And not only was he losing, he lost the first two rounds. He was losing the third round until he got that trip takedown. He was losing the fourth round until he got another takedown. And then the fifth, he went right back to the takedown because he understood that Sakai had nothing for him in the ground. But he just makes adjustments. And I believe he relies on that veteran savvy to carry him through these fights, especially against a guy like Augusto Sakai, who showed that he's as high level as they come. He was winning the stand-up against Alistair Overeem. Years ago, no one would have ever thought that you could even compete with Alistair Overeem with 4-ounce glove. And Sakai was winning the stand-up. But hats off to Alistair, man. 40 years old and doesn't look any different. People talk about the fight was kind of slow, and it was, but that's the way he fights now, right? He makes you fight at that slower pace to get you to kind of fight him the way that he wants. You know, gets you inside the octagon, lands nice knees from the outside. He throws kicks. He throws his strikes one or two at a time now. He doesn't overwhelm you as he did when he was younger, but he makes you fight that type of fight, and that gives him a chance.
Oh, wait a second. I love the Ream as much as anyone. Uber Ream, Demolition Man. But you can't tell me with a straight face he doesn't look any different. He looks a lot different.
About physically, I'm talking about. Oh, okay. Like he doesn't look any different in the way that he fights now, right? Over the course of the last, I think when he went to Jackson's back in the day, they kind of slowed him down a little bit, and he started being a little more smart with his and efficient with his energy. And he still looks like that the same physically. Yeah, he looks completely different. I mean, but we're in a different world today than we were back when he was fighting in Strike Force and Pride.
No, it's just horse meat. You can't get horse meat in America.
You can't get horse meat in the U.S. He lives in Colorado now, you know, so yeah.
And by the way, speaking of Colorado, shout out to Elevation Fight Team, who just continues to be on a roll this year with all the great fighters that they have there. Neil Magny last week, Overeem this week, and then all the other great fighters that they have there, Drew Dober, and the list goes on and on. Gaethje trains out of there as well. They just continue to do great things, and I think they are a big part of his renaissance. Now, by the way, when you see Overeem, do you get like – I get a warm, tingly feeling inside when I see Overeem because he's just one of the legends, and to me it just – it still feels special when Alistair Overeem. It reminds me of the Pride K1 days. Mm-hmm. Do you get a warm, tingly feeling? Because let's be honest, without Alistair Overeem, there is no DC. Alistair Overeem – is almost directly responsible for your success.
Oh, yeah, getting out of the tournament, you mean.
That's right. How soon they forget.
You know, I don't necessarily get a tingly. I like Alistair. I think he's a great guy. I think he's very nice. I'm happy for his success.
Very thoughtful, right?
Very nice guy, thoughtful. I shake his hand and I say what's up. That's kind of the start of it. Because let me tell you one thing that happened in Canada back in the day. We're in Canada, and
which part?
I don't know. We're back in Canada, but this was me and Kane were there for. He was a guest fighter. Kane was the UFC champ, and
you know, Canada's not like a dirt road, right? Like there's different cities and provinces. No, I know, but it's like I would never say I'm in the United States. I would say I'm in Denver or.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know where we're in Montreal. We're in Montreal? No, really? Just kidding. We were in Montreal. Oh, okay. we were in Calgary, I think, and we're standing in the lobby of the hotel as Alistair is arriving. And me and Kane are just standing right next to each other. Alistair walks up, and he kind of, like, gives me this hug, shook my hand, gave me this hug. And like almost like kind of like sunned me a little bit. Like he was so much bigger. Like, hey, DC, almost touched my shoulder. You know, hey, little guy. You know, and he just looked at Kane, bro, and he didn't say anything. He just like kind of like gave him the head nod, like shook his hand. I don't know if that was a maybe I'm coming for your belt type of thing, but or maybe it was a Kane was so crazy intimidating back then that nobody ever spoke to him. I don't know what it was. It was like I was just so much more approachable than Kane was. And that I think that's where Alistair and I's relationship was formed, right? Because before, he never really – I didn't know him. You know, we never talked to Strikeforce or anything. And so every time we see each other, we're very cordial. But I don't know if today he would even say anything to Kane because Kane's just not very approachable in that sense.
I was just waiting for the payoff on that story. Is that the story or is there
– Yeah, that's the story. That's the story.
Oh, that was it?
That was the fact that he kind of sunned me in Canada.
Oh, okay. I thought there was like and then this happened. And then this happened.
But then he didn't say anything to the big brother, you know? So like that's why I don't get the tingly feeling, right? It's always still kind of like
– Okay. You keep it 100.
Yeah, keep 100, man. Come on, man. I can't believe you tried to do that to my story,
bro. I mean, there was just no real payoff. I do agree that Kane is a lot less approachable, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, I guess that was the payoff. Off, right, like I'm the guy that everybody wants to say hi to, and not Kane, I guess.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play!
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
One guy who knows a lot about Kane and Alistair Overeem is your old pal, Brock Lesnar, the beast incarnate himself. How about DC retiring last week officially on this program? Get it straight. You didn't retire in the ring on August 15th. You didn't retire afterwards on social media. You retired on this show. I want the record to show that you officially retired on this show and you announced your intention to leave the USADA pool.
Oh, my God. You in jail, bro. Jail goes USADA. If you say USADA, boy, Ariel and the bad guy don't know how to pronounce USADA.
Anyway, literally 5 hours later, we get word that Brock is a free agent. And then we all start going crazy. Is he coming to UFC? There had to have been a part of you like, come on, Brock. Come on, man. One more time. Are you on this show, will you officially re-enter the pool and say you're sticking around for one more fight? Break some news for us.
No, I'm done. I want to wrestle with Brock. I want to wrestle with Brock in the WWE. You know, like, that's where I want to fight Brock. I want to fight him on his terms. I don't want to fight him. But, I mean, you know, two old guys in the UFC octagon, you know, going at it, 43, 41. That seems fun. But, boy, me and Brock at WrestleMania, that would be a good time.
Wow.
I mean, really? You're coming with me. You're coming with me, too. You absolutely are coming with me if I wrestle Brock. Man,
what kind of role will I have? Will I be like a mouthpiece? Can I be a manager?
So what I'm going to do, what I want you to do is talk. We're going to talk our talk, right? We're going to be like, Brock, you were so afraid that we have to follow you into your world, Brock.
Yes.
We followed you into your world because we want this. We wanted this. You never showed up, Brock. I waited and didn't retire because I waited for you. So we showed up into your world. And then once the match starts, we're going to just cheat him. The whole time I want you cheating. I want you tripping him. I want you getting on the side of the apron, distracting him. I want you just giving me a chance to beat Brock Lesnar. That's it.
I'll handle Heyman. I got Heyman.
You got Heyman.
Yeah, I got Heyman. Don't worry about that. We'll walk out with shirts. Push me now. Get slept later.
Oh, right? My goodness. It writes itself. It writes itself. But slow build.
Yeah, slow build.
I'd like to be 42 and a half by the time it pays off. 43-year-old WrestleMania, I could do.
Wait, you're talking next year's WrestleMania? I'm thinking April. I'm thinking April.
I don't know if the build simmers enough for me. I want a year. I want at least 12 months of a build before I get locked in the octagon. Because, honestly, if I'm being honest, I think they mismanaged the Brock Lesnar Kane thing. It was too fast.
Too fast.
They should have built it. You got to build these types of things. These things that have the story already written, you got to build these. So, yeah, I'd wrestle Brock in the WWE. And fighting Brock in the UFC, I mean, I don't know. I never really thought about it.
What do you mean you never thought about it? It was like a one-year-long story.
Well, back then, I'm talking about
right now.
Back. Yeah, I never really even thought about it.
Okay. By the way, I know you guys are sort of tight, breaking the fourth wall here.
We are. That's my guy.
What's he doing?
Right now? Probably weighing his options. Just weighing his options.
What a businessman, huh?
That's the thing about Brock, right? Brock has so many opportunities, man. Like, every time he says this, he gets paid more to stay there. I mean, it's great. And every time he comes back to the UFC, it only builds his persona and builds, like, that thing about him over there and in the entire world. So Brock has not made a bad decision when it comes to negotiating between two companies.
So this one is a little different because usually he does it a little more publicly and he kind of shows up to events and he lets the world know that he's, you know, playing footsie with the UFC and WWE. He'll take a picture with Dana White. My guy, John Pollock of postwrestling.com, told me that he's actually been a free agent for a few months. And what happened was they had to take him off the website, I think it was, because his merchandise deal went up. And then I think a PW Insider found out about it. So I don't think he's as much, you know, kind of playing the field. But Dana White saying last week, hey, I'd be into it if Brock is into it, if John Jones is into it, that sort of thing, lets me believe that Dana's interested. Ultimately, I don't think Brock wants to go through a training camp. I don't think he wants to get punched in the face. I don't think he wants to do all that stuff. I think he eventually goes back to wrestling because he's treated like a star over there.
Makes so much money there, too.
Makes so much money. But now you got me thinking, a DC versus Brock at WrestleMania, I mean, that is big business right there.
Big business.
You're fighting to exact revenge for your friend, Kane, who got, you know, smoked by him a couple months ago. Maybe even Rosendo shows up to, you know, to push him one more time.
We just recreate the whole thing. I mean, that's the payoff.
Get to be involved. That's really what's most important.
It's the payoff.
I get to be involved.
It would be amazing. Listen, man, wrestling is where it's at. But if Brock fought, I would like to see Brock fight somebody. Championship level right now, is he? You know, like, you have to ask yourself, is he championship level now? Because when we did that whole thing, that was in 2018, you know, so 2 years removed now, 4 years from the last fight. Is he championship level? I don't know. Put him in there with someone that he can compete with.
Well, I feel like I would be remiss if I don't ask. What do you think of the Jones-Brock idea?
I think it's a big fight, big, massive fight, but I don't know how well Brock does in that fight. I think Jones has the wrestling ability to keep him off of him. And if they're forced to stand, I think it'd be a one-round fight.
Really?
Yeah.
One-round fight. You think Jones...
I don't know. I don't know if he beats him in one round. I'm just messing around. I'm trying to piss Brock off. But I'm trying to work the angle, baby. I'm working the angle, Ariel. I'm working the angle. I'm trying to get him mad. I'm trying to get him mad so he wants me.
Yes,
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm kind of no-sell the idea, you know? Sure. I don't know.
And by the way, he hates me too, so this is perfect.
Who?
Brock hates
Lesnar?
Yeah, you know, UFC 200, he no-sold me, breaking news. Remember at the press conference, UFC 200, I asked him how many rounds he sparred, and he looked over at you. What did he say to you? Do you remember that press conference? Because I said, Eddie Alvarez, I got up at the press conference, and I said, Eddie Alvarez says he sparred 10,000, I think, hours or something crazy, right? I was like, hey, Brock, by the way, because the whole talk going into that fight against Mark Hunt was that he, like, hardly trained for it, right? I was like, by the way, how many rounds did you spar? And he looked over at you like, who is this joker over here?
No, listen. I love sitting next to the press conference with Brock because the whole time he's coaching me. Brock coached me the whole time. The whole press conference, he coached me. He was like, He goes, who is that guy? That's what he told me when you asked that question. He goes, what kind of, because you know, Brock is kind of, he cusses. He goes, what in the world? He goes, who is that? I was like, just don't worry about it. Don't pay him no mind. It did, but the whole time, when I would start to get fired up, he's like tapping me like, don't engage with him. Yeah. Like, he's like, he was just telling me not to like go in the, don't roll in the dirt with Jones, essentially.
Yeah. Right.
He was coaching me the whole time. Like, that was the funnest press conference. And I love the way Brock engages with you guys. He don't give you much.
Oh, he does not give you guys much. But he acts like he's like a million times better than all of us. Like, he looks down on us. Well, he kind of is. Well,
Brock Lesnar's better. Like, listen, Brock, I'm going to say this to you right now. Brock Lesnar's better than you.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
In every regard? Hey, he's better. He's just better than you. He's look at him. He's a national wrestling champion. How many national championships you got?
Exactly. That's what I said. In what regard?
How many national championships do you have?
How many Journalists of the Year awards?
Let me ask you this. Wait, stop. How many national championships do you have?
Zero.
Okay. Brock has made, what, $40 million wrestling? How many millions of dollars do you have?
What? Are you just trying to make me feel horrible about myself?
Brock is a
UFC. How many TV shows does he have on ESPN?
Brock has, okay. You win in a couple categories because you're my guy. Look. DC only loves one of you two, and that's you, my man. So I'm up Team Mario.
Yeah, first of all, you're trying to get in his bad graces, and you're trying to prop him up and say that he's better than me. This is completely...
Well, he is better than you. It's just a reality. Listen, he's better than you. Accept it.
I think in a two-round wrestling match, I think that I can hang with Brock.
With Brock? Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. Because you had that thing on your head. You were doing the boxing. Yes, you can fight him.
That's right.
Something just hit me. You might be able to fight Brock Lesnar. There's two guys you can fight. You can fight Ben Askren. You can fight Brock Lesnar. You think? That's what you're telling me?
Both have – who's striking is worse, Brock or Ben Askren? Oh, my God.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again.
I just want to know.
You're making another enemy.
Brock and I – I mean, listen, Brock and I could have had something, but he ruined it, all right? It was his fault. He messed
Brock
it up.
Brock scored a knockdown against Heath Herring. So I would say Brock, because has Ben ever knocked anybody down?
Has he knocked anyone else down, is what you're asking?
Has Ben ever scored a knockdown with a punch?
You know what? That's a good question.
Because Brock knocked down Heath Herring.
Yes. And he like flipped over nine times.
Yeah, so
that's a good Brock question. I feel like he's had to have knocked someone down, right? Really? You know this for a fact?
I can say this with about 98% certainty that Ben Askren's never knocked somebody down.
Really?
I don't think Ben Askren's – I don't know if Ben Askren's ever landed a punch on the feet. And I'm just being honest. I think he's never
– What?
Has Ben ever landed a punch on the feet? Ben never hit Damian Maia.
Okay, but no, but don't forget about the Bellator days, the one championship days.
He just took him down. I would really like to know how many punches Ben Askren has landed standing up.
I feel like we can find this out pretty fast.
Less than 25 over the course of his career.
Less than 25?
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
So you really think that I could beat him up on the feet?
See, the problem is you would never get a chance. He would take you down so fast.
No, straight boxing match. Straight boxing match.
You and Ben, man. I mean, the odds would come out. -110, -110. Askren versus Helwani. What, in a boxing match? You guys are like neck and neck, dog. Like this.
Oh my God!
It's amazing how Askren apparently landed 54 headshots against Damian Maia.
He landed 154 headshots.
Yep.
What? No, he didn't.
No way.
No Thank you, way. For that.
There is no chance he landed 154 headshots.
Yep, that's what it says.
Maybe you want to talk about some inflated stats? You telling me Ben hit Damian? I don't think Ben landed a strike against Damian Maia, did he?
Well, apparently he landed 154.
No, 54. 54 head strikes.
54 is still kind
63
of the shock.
Total. 63 total.
No. Maybe that's when Ben was on. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know, Jake. I think that's a lie, but I guess we'll take your word for it. So, Ariel, you win the bet.
All right. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, by the way, I noticed a couple days ago. Yeah, it was a couple days ago in the comment section. You ghosted Tony Ferguson. He asked you to train with him.
When?
Where was this? Maybe on the ESPN MMA account. He's like, "Oh, DC, you're the man. I'd love to train with you one of these days." And you didn't reply.
I didn't see it. I didn't see the comment.
Do you want to train with Tony Ferguson?
Oh, absolutely. Why not? He's a great. You know, he's a great guy. Him and Habib. The moment him and Habib get their business.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I forgot about that.
Yeah, the moment him and Habib get their business done. Sure. I just can't do it up until they get their business done. You know, once him and Habib get their business done, why not?
But you don't train anymore, right?
Who?
You.
Me? I train every day. I got a training session today with Rosendo Sanchez.
Really?
Yeah, man. I got to
train for what?
I just got to kind of like, I don't want to get so fat again this time like I was all those other times.
But yeah, so retirement DC includes a little bit of training.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Rosendo hit pads 3 days a week. He comes, he holds pads. I hit my bag and then I run.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Try to keep, I don't want to be too big next, like I was. Man, there are a couple times I'm sitting at that table and I can't even button my pants. One time I'm in Brazil calling fights and I had so much Brazilian barbecue that when I went into the Octagon to do an interview, I had my pants unbuttoned because I forgot to button them back at the table. Reed Harris texts me. Reed goes, "Dude, your pants are unbuttoned." I was like, "Oh my God." I was like, "Oh my God, I forgot. I forgot to button them back." The pants were unbuttoned under the belt. So you could see at the belt, pants were unbuttoned. I was like, "Oh my God."
Reed Harris was the only one who noticed this?
Reed's wife noticed it on TV. Reed's wife saw it on TV and told him. She was like, "Hey, DC's pants are still unbuttoned." Because that's a thing, right? People know that when I'm like a little chubbier, I kind of like to be relaxed next to the Octagon. So I got to be careful.
Now, you look good this past week. Felt good to be back. I'm sure everyone showered you with love, right? It kind of helped you move on a bit.
It was good, but like it was kind of odd, right? Because it was fast. It was only about 3 weeks since I fought, so to be back in that same spot was a little bit different. But
was it weird to be back in the same spot? Because usually, like, you're not back in the same arena that you just fought.
Yeah, yeah. You just remember, like, man, the last time I was here, I was getting prepared to go fight. You know, so yeah, a little bit different, but it is what it is. You know, I go to do my job, and that's called fights. You know, so I called the fights and I had a good time. I like the contender series.
You do?
Ooh, I like it. I like it a lot, man. It's fun. You go back into the behind the desk. You can wear whatever you want. You can wear shorts if you want to. I mean, it's cool in there.
That's the main reason why you like it.
Yeah.
Were you wearing shorts?
I wore pants actually because I didn't know that you could wear shorts. But I wore. You can. It's nice, man. Very relaxed environment. You know, honestly. John Anik told me that when you call football games, it's like that. You're behind a desk, right? So you kind of have the top on and you're relaxing. You're never on TV, just calling the game, which is it's always fun like that.
All right. One last quick thing before we get to shout-outs. Your guy, Deron Nguyen, unfortunately got some bad news last week. 9 months suspension, tested positive for amphetamines, can return in December. This is stemming from his fight in March. This is your protege. This is the guy you took under your wings, and you're still a very big part of his life. Just curious what your reaction to this news was.
You know, it sucks when these kids get themselves into trouble, you know, but what we're trying to do now is get Deron on the right track. You know, he has made a lot of changes since he got the result, because you got to understand that this result isn't new to him. This result isn't new to the team, right? This is new just to the public. He's trying to make the correct changes to improve himself, not only as an athlete, but just in life. And that's exactly what you got to do. When you are hit with things like this, when you are hit with something that is difficult to deal with from a mistake or something that you have done wrong, you have to grow from it. And it seems as though he's trying to grow from it. And all I can do is hope that he continues down the right path and not only changes himself as a competitor, but changes himself as a man. And it seems like he's ready to do those things. And he's trying to do those things. But it all starts with that. It starts with you improving yourself internally before you can get the results that you desire out in front of everybody inside of the octagon.
So no truth to the rumor that you've disowned him.
This is all, look, man, to turn your back on people in their dark times is horrible. You don't do that. So all I can do is try to guide this young man into being who I think he can be. But ultimately, that's on him. You know, nobody was responsible for the things that I did in my career but me. As much as I, you know, people help to guide me, I just can provide that same type of guidance for him. And I think that he's willing and ready now to take advice and do things the right way.
All right. So we wish the best to Mini DC. Hopefully he gets back on track. I know he loves when I call him that. Now time for everyone's favorite segment of the week, DC. It is time for our shout outs before we go. I'll start, if you don't mind. Shout out to Angela Hill, who is one half of the new main event this coming Saturday against Michelle Waterson. Unfortunately, we found out last week that Glover Teixeira versus Thiago Santos is off after Teixeira tested positive for COVID. However, they have rebooked that fight for October 3rd. But why am I shouting out Angela Hill? Because Angela Hill, DC, is the first Black American female to headline a UFC event. That's pretty big stuff.
That's fantastic. We're very proud of Angela. Everybody, the entire mixed martial arts world is proud of Angela for what she has become. Not only as the first Black female fighter to headline a card in the UFC, but also for her ability to become essentially a road warrior, any fight, any time. This fight has a lot of heat on it too, because these two women don't like each other, and it's going to be great. But it just goes to show you anything is possible. Anything is possible. And as Angie wrote on her Instagram yesterday, she's the first, but she does not believe that she'll be the last. So big step for the UFC.
Who you got?
Honestly, it's a very close fight, very competitive fight. But
No. I don't mean as a prediction. I meant like your shout out.
Oh, my shout out. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my shout out. Oh, I know. My bad, dog. I thought you were talking about a prediction. You know,
I don't do predictions.
You know, people are very like sensitive about these predictions.
I know. I mean, right. If you want to give me a prediction,
no,
sure.
I don't. Okay. I don't. My shout out. You know who my shout out goes to, man?
Who?
The man, Cam Newton. My man, Cam Newton, getting named the starter of the New England Patriots. And not only being named the starter, but also becoming the captain of the team, first year with the team on a contract that's only $500,000 guaranteed. We're talking about a former league MVP, a guy that has led his team to the Super Bowl, going into a town that is known for Tom Brady, playing for a coach that seemed to be everything opposite of what he strives in system-wise, and he is getting showered with praises from his teammates. So for Cam Newton, earning that starting position, being named team captain, and just the glowing reviews that he has gotten from his teammates is really a sight to behold. Because you got to think, after the Panthers cut him, everybody passed on Cam Newton until the Patriots decided to give him a shot, and now he's a team captain and the starter. And before I'm done, let's give Alistair Overeem some love one more time for what he is doing, being able to get his hand raised over that young Augusto Sakai in the way that he did, showing veteran savvy, making adjustments, and getting another massive victory. Let's see him run that back one more time with Jarzinho. He won 24 minutes and 30 seconds of that fight. Let him run it back.
Very nice story about Cam Newton. It's a shame he'll be second place to the AFC champs, AFC and AFC East champs, by the way. The AFC champs, yes, I'm right about that. I did not misspeak.
Are you talking about the Bills?
Your and my Buffalo Bills. But that is a nice story. But how about DC? Shout out to my guy, OG Anunoby, who hits one of the all-time great three-pointers in the history of the NBA and doesn't even celebrate. Walks off like he's going to get a cup of coffee at the local Starbucks. OG Anunoby, I love this guy. He's hilarious. I don't know if you've seen any of his old videos with Serge Ibaka talking about scarves and whatnot, but DC, it's really not only about the shot. It's about the pass as well from Kyle
Lowry. That's what I was saying.
Taco over the 8'9" taco fall. But how about the fact that there I am watching that game, Kemba Walker with one of the all-time great dimes, and now they're up by, I think, 2 with 0.5 left, and my quote-unquote friend, DC, calls me to rub it in that the Raptors are now going to go down 0-3 against the Celtics, and then OG with the shot. And now we're tied 2-2 playing on Labor Day, and we got the series.
I was calling the dance on your grave. Oh, that would hurt. And then, you know, pretending to, like, feel for you. Hey, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you weren't feeling for me.
Hey, guys. Never would have thought. I never would have thought that could have happened. Oh, and then 2 minutes later, I'm calling like, oh, my God, we're losing our minds on the phone. Oh, my God. Everybody's telling me, be quiet. It's almost midnight where you're at. I mean, you're still watching the game. It was crazy. It was, dude.
The way he walked away like that.
Hey, that pass from Kyle Lowry. Taco falls about as tall as any person we've ever seen. Lowry, it looked like they were going to take a five-second call. It looked like they were no timeouts remaining. It looked like he couldn't get the ball, and he throws it across the court. OG gets it, and how about Jaylen Brown, though? How about Jaylen Brown pulling no punches in the interview? Jaylen Brown's like, that is just unacceptable. Because somebody – I think the best kid on the Celtics, the light-skinned kid. Jason Tatum missed the switch, so then Jaylen Brown had to go down and try to help, and that left OG open. The dude hits the shot, and then they go back and win the game 4, and now we 2-2. It's a problem.
Now we 2-2. Never underestimate the heart of a champion, like the great Rudy T once said way back when. You remember that, and here we are with our bet, which, by the way, I don't think we've settled on the stakes just yet. I feel like we should probably do that sooner rather than later, because I'm going to win, and you're going to renege like you reneged when we did the Rockets. Raptors bet.
Well, because the 76ers didn't count because Ben Simmons got hurt. So that was off bet when Ben Simmons got hurt, right? So my new finals prediction is
Miami?
Wait, my new finals prediction is, I mean, Heat are looking pretty good, you know. But I would the winner of the Raptors and the
there is no new finals prediction. You picked the Sixers.
It was off bet.
No, there was no off bet.
It was off bet.
They got swept by the Celtics. They're out of it. Now you pick the Rockets, and they won against
Oklahoma. Yeah, we did. We look good, too.
Congratulations. Boy. James Harden did not look good in that game 7.
They cheated so much for the Lakers. Did you see that?
I didn't see any. What do you mean?
It was absurd how much they cheated. Man, you can't touch LeBron. They call foul every time he touched the king. And then, I mean, James Harden was getting just destroyed out there. Poor Russell Westbrook. One of the nicest guys in the world. I mean, Russell Westbrook. So nice, always smiling, never uses bad language. All he wants to do is be a leader and guide people through his efforts on the basketball court, and he's getting clotheslined.
Oh, stop it.
He's getting beat up out there. He doesn't get – I mean –
listen, you're 1-1. You're 1-1 going back to Houston. You're good.
And then also, hey, every time Harden gets the ball, they want to double team. Are we going to play like men? Are we going to double team James Harden every time? We don't double team LeBron. We let the great P.J. Tucker guard Anthony Davis, even though he's got 7 inches of a height on him. I mean, play us 1-on-1. Come on, Frank.
You're good. You're going back. You got the split. Going back to Houston.
Anywhere, actually, we're going back to our hotel at Disneyland. They're walking right back to the game court. But, I mean, we're 1. All you got to do is win 1 at home. All you got to do is win 1 on the road. Right?
That's right.
And then the series changes. So we won 1. We took 1 in Staples. I closed my eyes. If I close my eyes and we won 1 in Staples. As I watch the game, I listen. And it's like we're on the road.
Your East pick
is gone. The bubble has delivered though, hasn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. Your West pick is going up against my West pick, the Lakers and my Raptors. My East pick still alive. So I'm still very much alive in this. It all really hinges on your Rockets trying to pull off the mammoth upset. And we'll see what happens. But I like where I'm sitting, especially going into game 5 tonight with Canada's team, your Toronto Raptors. By the way, one more shout out before I go. Hey, let's give a shout out to the man you disrespected around 25 minutes ago, Ben Askren, who had hip surgery a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And he's already out there walking and talking smack to Sean O'Malley in his video. Sean O'Malley, so we hope he makes a speedy recovery.
That's why we can take shots and pick on Ben a little bit, because he can give it, he can take it. It's kind of been our relationship my whole life with him. And yeah, happy for Ben to have, because you can only imagine the pain that Ben has been in for the last few years dealing with the bad hip. So good on you, Ben Askren.
Yeah, and you know, not for nothing, filled in pretty well when you were
did
away.
A good job. I was very worried.
There was some talk of a new show. You know,
and then all of a sudden, like the DC and DC Elwani started to look like an afro. I was like, the Fro and Elwani is about to come on. Come on, man.
Hey, that's a nice name.
The Fro and Elwani.
Well, he already has like 9 podcasts and has a collective 4 listeners in those, so he doesn't need another one to
add. Yo, again, why can't we just let Ben make it at the end of the show, man? We just gave him props for getting the good surgery. You got to take another shot.
He's so annoying on Twitter. God, he's annoying. Why does he have to keep changing his name every day? Like, who does that? Who has the mental strength to change his name every single day with all the things going on in this world? Ben, please. Put your energy into something else, for God's sakes. All right, we're out of time, DC. Happy Labor Day. What are we doing the rest of the day? Barbecue, what do we got? Ribs?
It's hot here, dogs. Man. It's like 114 degrees in Norway. So I'm just trying to stay in my house in my air conditioning and just chill. Maybe wrestle with Lil Daniel later on in the day.
Okay. Well, enjoy that. Happy Labor Day to your family. And my best to your beautiful wife, Selena. I know you guys are rounding third in that regard. I mean, who knows if you'll be back next week. You might be in the hospital. Changing diapers.
I'll do it from the hospital bed. September 22nd is our date. September 22nd is our date. Okay. And know that it's a Wednesday because I wanted to ensure that I was free on Monday to do the show. Nobody tell her that. Nobody tell Selena. I'll say it that.
Okay. All right.
Hey, happy Labor Day. How you say it in Canada? Labor. Labor Day. Happy Labor Day to all my Canadian friends. I love you guys so much. I can't wait to come back. Because you guys are so much nicer than the one Canadian friend I have, Ariel Horn.
Thanks to everyone who continues to support us, downloading and subscribing and all that stuff they do. Thank you to Modelo. We're good. Yep, that's it.
And watch us on TV tomorrow night.
Watch us on ESPN2 or ESPN News if there's a counter programming. I don't know. It gets a little confusing. But it's at midnight on the tube.
Tube.
Peace. We're out of here.